Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, October 18th, and we're back. No rain today.
No, sun.
In fact, it's going to get hotter as the week passes. So there you go.
So much
for our rain. We got about 15 minutes of it, and that's our winter.
People already texted me from outside of LA. Are you guys okay? You had some rain?
Yeah, because they only had 24 accidents in 2 hours in the morning.
We are such morons.
Right?
We can't drive in the rain.
People
we just
can't
don't
drive
know.
In the rain.
They can't drive, period.
No. They drive either too slow or too fast in the rain.
That's right.
And that's terrible.
No, it's mostly too slow. And I'm from D.C. where there's like some really big storms. You just gotta keep going, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh.
Oh, well, you know, some people don't keep going. What are you gonna do, you know? You gotta, but you know what was interesting? Somebody I talked to yesterday. I mean, this is totally digression here, but you said, you know, you gotta move forward. And I talked to someone that I've known for a while, and you know, she hadn't been able to walk for a long time and stuff. And I told her that my mom doesn't walk now, you know, because no reason, just that she, I don't know, it's complicated. But the point is, she was telling me, she says, you know, refusing to walk or not being able to walk is like not wanting to move forward.
Yeah, very much so.
You know?
Yeah.
She says, I felt it. I know.
Yeah. I mean, have you checked to see if your mom's mentally depressed at all?
Oh, she is very
depressed. Can she be on antidepressants?
She is.
Okay. Let's just get real personal.
Let's just say we've done everything for her. Okay. I'm in the stage where cannabis is going.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We're trying that because we tried everything else.
Well, sometimes cannabis is the answer.
Well, it better be.
Yeah, something.
For crying out loud. I mean, she's on pain pills and everything. I'll bet you she is hooked on them. You know?
Really?
And that's probably why she keeps complaining about pain.
Ugh.
Because that's an excuse to take the pain pills.
Oh.
But opiates, you know, I mean, you get hooked on them.
Of
How can she take
do.
Them for years and not be hooked on them?
I know. My mom is on a ton of medicine, and she's just luckily not an addictive personality. But in our pharmaceutical drawer, we call it, man, she's got everything.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, but luckily for her, she doesn't ever
she
have
doesn't.
That.
Yeah.
Never.
You see, I would go crazy because I'm very addictive.
Stay away from the pharmaceutical
exactly,
drawer.
Exactly, yeah. Don't give me any pharmaceuticals.
No.
Yeah, I was a crazy kid. In the 70s, we tried everything. You know, we had Quaaludes. Have you heard of Quaaludes?
Of course, the ludes.
Yes.
So is it just made you sleepy?
No, it made you like numb, like you had just drank like 24 packs of beer or something, you know? Like really numb
but
from
you weren't
like alcohol.
But you weren't unbalanced.
No, not really, but you wouldn't want to drive.
I see.
But I remember one day when we were doing this, I was living in Vegas at the time. It must have been 1979, 80. It snowed in the city, and we were doing ludes, and then I had to go home. Now, I'm driving in the snow, totally fucked up, completely, all right, on snow. All right, in Vegas.
That's so weird.
That's where I lived at the time. And I still can't believe I'm alive,
that's
you know?
That's crazy. My thing is, like, why? Where did they go? After the 70s, no one's heard of a Quaalude
they
anymore.
Became illegal because it was like tranquilizers.
But it's
you know?
Like bizarre that like that drug just disappeared. You
it
know?
Did.
It's weird.
It did. But then they brought it back up with the Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember they were talking
of course,
about that.
Of
yeah. Because many people didn't even know about ludes and
of
stuff.
Course,
but
these
if you lived in the 70s, 80s, you knew what they were.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but let me tell you, sex on them was like the best.
Oh my God. I have no response.
I mean, yeah, because you really want to touch. I mean, touching feels
it's like
so
ecstasy,
great.
I think, for people.
Probably.
I've never tried ecstasy, but everyone I know has, and they're like, yeah, you just want to touch things.
Except ecstasy works on, I don't know, at least on my manly. It works the other way, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't make me horny at all.
I see.
So, yeah,
okay.
so, but marijuana.
Personal
or,
this morning.
Yeah. Too much information, but what the hell, you know, we're talking about it. Like, what did they call it? Like cock dick or something, you know, like when you can't.
What?
You haven't heard of that before? When, yeah, when. No, not cock dick.
Lip.
Coke dick.
Oh,
did I say cock dick?
You did.
Okay, coke dick. That's what I meant. When people do coke and they can't get hard.
I see.
Yeah.
So quite a descriptive.
Yeah. How did I say cock? Yeah, it shows you. You know. Yeah.
Too many lewds.
Yeah, it was too. It was redundant, actually. Right, cock dick. What the hell is that? But no, people that used to do coke, they would call it that because, I mean, I never liked coke in the 80s. And I'm glad.
Because you could get really addicted to that.
Yeah, and it's bad. I mean, people would get holes in their nose and shit like that.
That's terrible.
You know?
No, thank God. I mean, like, when I was growing up, it was all, you know, pot.
Right.
It was all, like, downers.
Yeah, I know.
Thank God. I'm too excited as a person anyway to go on uppers. No way.
Yeah, right? I know. We used to have speed at the time. Yeah, you know, we didn't have coke or... That was in the 70s. We had speed. And God, we were speeding.
I can imagine you on speed. I'd be like, get me out of here.
I know. Well, a lot of drug talk this morning, folks. Well, you know, we never plan where we're going.
We don't.
So in a few minutes, we're going to get to our studio guest. We're always excited to have studio guests here, especially returning ones and cool ones, too. You know, we have to kiss her ass because she came. This is the second time or third time on the show. So so I got to be nice to
her.
She's a good friend. But we'll get to that in just a moment. A couple of other things, I guess. The Melania Trump thing is a big deal.
Yeah, I watched it on Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, I just watched the outtakes.
Man, the thing that got me was like she was sitting in the Trump Tower. They have some bad furniture, man. That is covered in gold. I was like, what is going on? I mean, I knew it was, but the Trump, I'm like, where is he getting his furniture from? Anyway, it was very interesting. She sort of blamed Billy Bush for sort of egging him on. That was the big headline.
Right.
She also thinks the media is very skewed and has said some things against her, and she's suing. So she came across as very... much brighter than I thought, much more with
really?
It. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, she talked about her son, Barron, and how she doesn't allow that kind of language, and I don't know how she allows it with... And then she made some kind of joke, like she says, I'm always with two boys, my son and my husband, and I'm like, no one's laughing.
True, yeah.
Nobody's laughing. So she said she was very hurt by the tape, and she was offended, and she told him, and she said it was unacceptable, and so she came across, she goes, everyone thinks, poor Melania, I'm being held against my will, I'm very strong, and I know what I'm doing. And
that's
so she
good.
Did come across brighter than I thought.
To say
I mean,
that,
she's nowhere close to Michelle Obama,
right.
But she could speak sentences, so that was encouraging. That was really encouraging.
Sounds like a true leftist, folks.
For sure.
There you go. But you know what?
I feel for her.
I feel for her too, but you know, it takes a lot of courage to sit where she's sitting and have to deal with all this, you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, she's not coming across looking good. After this, she will be. If he does, I mean, she's been pounded, especially by people for women's rights. I mean, she just looks like the subservient, dumb wife. And I think what she said to Anderson Cooper makes her seem much more educated and with it, and she's aware. But you still wonder why a woman like that is sticking by this guy's side, who's just an ass.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to ask yourself, why did she marry him in the first place?
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
I mean, she's very young.
She knew.
She was
she
young
knew
and
him.
Beautiful. Right. He was double her age, probably.
And she knows Donald Trump. He'd already divorced two people. I mean, she knew the reputation. But that bus, you know, the bus tape, he's married to Melania at the time.
Right.
For only 8 months.
Right.
So, like...
Yeah, but I mean, she knew who he was.
Yeah.
And the thing is, how do you not marry Donald Trump with all that money,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure, I don't know, maybe he wasn't as crude then as he is now.
She says he doesn't use that language at all with him. He's a perfect gentleman.
Right.
I wonder how much time they're spending together.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I read Tony Schwartz, who wrote the book, the autobiography that he said he wrote, but it's, anyway, he said he never saw the children around Trump. They were always taking care of nannies or the wives at the time, so they are very separate from Donald Trump. So
yeah, what I would expect that being so rich and busy all the time, you know, but...
he's got golf courses to design.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens, you know. I mean,
third debate's coming up Wednesday, tomorrow.
That's true.
Oh, God. Everyone's anxiety's through the roof.
I know.
The American Psychological Association put out coping techniques for people who are stressed out about the election. Not only that, Canada, which everyone loves, came up with a video today that's going viral on YouTube saying why America is great. And they just want to say, they were like, we know you're going through a lot. We just want to tell you why we love America. And it's like jazz music, R&B, like the culture, the electricity, the technology. And I'm like, I love Canada so much. So they're just, it was a great YouTube. Look it up. It's just a really nice, thoughtful touch from our neighbors from the north.
Yeah. I know. They're like, it's like America, but 10 times mellower, you know?
They're just the nicest.
Yeah.
And it's all just viral webcam people telling the people why they love America and to stick it out. And America is great again. You don't have to make it great. And I'm like, I love you, Canada.
It touched you, right?
Oh, it touched everyone.
A therapy session.
I put it on my Twitter and I was like, man, someone's chopping onions really early this morning. I mean, it is quite touching. Wow. And just what you needed to freaking hear. It's like someone thinks we're okay. Someone with like reputation, you know, credibility. Yeah.
We'll always be okay. I mean, we're
a little shaky.
We're
right
as
now,
close to utopia as you're going to get on this planet. That's all I can say. I know you liberals live for utopia.
No, I hear you. I'm a woman living in America. I'm one of the luckiest 1% in the world. Absolutely.
I mean, we're extremely fortunate to be here. And
it's just kind of a downtime in our political, you know, history, if you will.
Right.
It's a little sluggish. So I think perhaps that was a nice boost.
It's a little lacking for some charisma.
The favorability of everyone involved is pretty low. So this was a nice touch.
Yeah, I know. So I decided that I'm probably going to keep to myself who I'm voting for.
I think this is a fabulous idea.
Don't you think so?
I think a lot of people are starting to do that.
Because I'll tell you why. And this is not to say I'm voting for Trump, because at this point, I feel kind of embarrassed, but I'm still undecided because I can't decide who I'm going to throw under the bus here.
Right. But I think you are decided that you don't like Trump. It just doesn't. I think it's not like you're undecided whether or not you like him or not. You don't like him, but you're undecided on, do I stick with my party and be loyal?
Exactly. And you see, and that's why I think there's two issues here, and that's why it's hard to decide, because you have the party that you need to support and the candidate.
But do you know Trump is trying to make like a separate party? He's trying to do like the Trump party.
He does not represent the Republican party.
So
that
way,
I know, he doesn't represent me as a conservative.
That's right.
So, you know, but neither does Hillary.
Of course.
And I don't want to see a socialized country. And I think that's where it's going to go. But
can you
at
do
the same
a write-in?
Time,
can you write in your favorite?
No, that's bullshit. You know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, you got to get behind someone. So I'm telling you. So on the one hand, you know, I think Trump would be better, because at least we're going to have some more conservative values. But at the same time, he's not the one that I want to do.
Right, because he's a laughingstock and a sexual assaulter. Yeah,
he just by a fluke ended up in the Republican Party.
Yeah, and what's funny is Obama, who I know you have issues with, he did say, he looked at Republicans and said, you're supposed to be the mantle of the morality in this country, and you elected him?
Right.
I mean, it's a good question.
No, that's absolutely.
Somehow it's gotten to this point where that's who your party elected, and I feel bad for conservatives who are smart and ethical and moral and just have conservative views on the government, because you're left with this douche as a choice.
Right.
And it's not fair. It's not.
I agree with you completely. You know, he's going to be so alienated from everybody anyway. You know, he's going to be too busy fighting with everybody, just like he is now, instead of working on
what's
important.
He'll be talking about Rosie O'Donnell instead of the global community.
Exactly.
And
you know,
climate change. And and he's very... he's unglued easily, is what I feel.
Yeah.
Like, he can come on unglued quite easily, even when you watch in a debate, he can become unglued. So you think, man, he's prepared for this. What if he's in a meeting with China?
Right.
Or he says China.
And he's going to make stupid mistakes.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I don't know, you know. So we'll see. I mean, but at this point, I decided, you know what? People are killing people over who they're voting for. And I decided it's not a good idea to just be in the public eye and announce who you're voting for.
I think that's a good idea. And also, you know, I think things are getting kind of, to be honest, pretty serious. Like, the press is now having to be protected by Secret Service when they go to the motorcade, because people at Trump rallies are saying things that threatening them, throwing rocks. It's gotten to a point where it's, like, not funny anymore.
Right.
It's gotten a bit, like, bizarrely dangerous now.
But it's not just the Trump side, though. Let's remember the North Carolina thing yesterday or the day before, remember?
Yes. No, there's a Trump office that was absolutely firebombed.
Right.
Which is terrible. Democrats within 3 hours got like $30,000 and raised it to rebuild it, but that was a horrible... I know, we're always amazing. Yeah. No, but it was a horrible act of violence. I will say that. But it's not just that side, but you see more of these death threats at those at Trump rallies because they get into a mob sort of frenzy.
Yeah.
And
probably. Yeah.
So now
probably.
They're chanting, Paul Ryan sucks. Paul Ryan sucks. I'm like, how eloquent. How eloquent.
I know. Come on, folks. We're only almost a couple of weeks away from the election.
Someone help us. You know?
Yeah. Somebody help us, please. Let's really talk about what's important here.
Yeah. They went to Chris Christie and he was like, are you proud of the campaign? And he's backing away. His thing was today was, I'm proud of what I've said in this campaign, but it's not my campaign. You can hear him. You know, breaking backwards, reversing, beep, beep, beep. He's trying to get out of it. Yeah. So I do feel bad for you guys, though. I do. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that compassion and
anytime.
Empathy.
Yeah, that's why I'm
but
a liberal.
You're going to be laughing all the way to the White House.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of that for today, folks. We're going to be joined by Kim Seltzer. And welcome to the show, Kim. Get
Thank
closer
you.
To our mic, yeah. please, so we can hear you nice and warm. Kimberly Seltzer, she's been on the show several times. Oh, is it the second time only, Kimberly, or the third?
I think this is our third.
It's the third, yeah. because this is your second time by yourself, but you came with somebody else, didn't you, before? Did you come with Brian or Laurel or
no,
something?
No, I think
right?
I've always been solo. With
really?
Sam.
So
yes.
it's the third time. There you go. But at any rate, it doesn't really matter because she's here now. And Kim, tell us what it is that you do. I mean, you do everything that it takes to get people together to get married or connect or whatever.
Yeah,
everything.
I kind of like help people become their own matchmakers, how I describe it. You know, so I'm a dating and makeover expert and a therapist, and I have this whole kind of inside-out approach in helping people look and feel their best so they attract what they want. Uh-huh. And it's getting their outer in shape, so taking them shopping and looking at their style, how they're presenting themselves, their first impression, their body language, how they put themselves out there, but also internally, and this is where, you know, I put my therapy hat, and helping people break patterns and how the past is connected to the future and the choices we make and the patterns that get created.
Yeah.
That's funny because my friend Nicole, I won't tell her last name, but she was looking for dating. She goes, you know, online dating just isn't going to work for me. I'm better at meeting people in person. And then I look at her, I go, how's that working out for you? Because the pattern hadn't been good.
Right.
And it was just like silence. And she's like, well, okay, you're right. That's a point. Good point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. you know, I used to do matchmaking a long time ago. I used to work for an agency. And it was funny because people would come there thinking that it was like the Magic Kingdom.
The magic
thing,
right?
And I had fairy dust with different people in my database than there were out in the real world. And right. lo and behold, the same problems would surface. And so the people who ended up being successful were the ones that coached with me mm-hmm. and
could
it
change
was their
and
own
adapt.
Touch. Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, my whole thing is there's not just one way of meeting people. Like online's great too,
yeah.
but when you focus just on online dating, you're not doing other things to better yourself, then that's when it gets maddening. So
yeah.
I always say that your dating portfolio should look like your financial portfolio.
I like that.
You have to diversify as much as possible to get success.
Yeah, there you
like
go.
That.
You see, and Kim knows what she's talking about. So let's see. So you're officially a maker. Over and confidence expert, therapist, and dating coach. So, I mean, so you do everything, you know. In
One
other
stop
words,
shop.
I've seen you guys got to check out her site because she's got before and after pictures, and everybody loves those. Go to
love those. I could watch all day before and after,
right? And
right.
you'll
all
see. So, go to her
day.
Website, she's gonna give it to us now.
Yeah, it's seltzerstyle.com.
Ooh, I like that. All bubbly,
yeah, bubbly like me. yeah, what's fun about the transformations when you see the pictures is that, you know, in the picture, obviously the clothes look more updated and fresh and fitting their body type and attractive, but the body language,
it's
the
different.
Attitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't necessarily tell people to pose that way. Pose like you're happier now. It's just, it's something they embody when they start
when they dress
good
nice
themselves.
And feel
yeah.
good,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I used to sell bridal gowns, and when I hit the right one, I'd say, oh, because they would start swagging.
Right?
Confident
yeah.
walk. I'm like, that's the one.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can tell. And energy sort of switches a bit.
Well, and, you know, look, there's not many things in life where you get that instant gratification mm-hmm. of change, right? All this other stuff we're working years and years in therapy and trying to change. But there's something about when a woman puts on a pair of heels, she walks differently.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, and it's this instant thing. And I always tell people, just change one thing. If it's mm-hmm. just one little mm-hmm. thing, like a red lipstick or
yeah.
something that's different for you that breaks you out of that kind of rut that you're in, mm. that also creates a different result, mm-hmm. it can lead to bigger changes. Mm-hmm.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, interesting about a little digression, but you talked about high heels. Do you know, I read mm-hmm. somewhere that what makes them sexy to men?
Okay, so I know. And you may not know this.
No, but you tell me. Yeah.
You may not know this, uh-huh. but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a subconscious.
It's got to be
thing.
A primal thing, right?
Well, there's three reasons. Okay. I've kind of broken it down.
Ooh, I like
so
this.
Tell me.
Yeah,
tell me you agree, Sam. So okay. The first thing is that men love the way that the woman's calves look.
Oh.
Like, do you ever notice how defined her
I
calves,
like calves
are, right?
I like See? Calves.
In a heel, I look fantastic, my calves.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you look kind of, you know, leaner, and that is just really sexy. The second reason why they like it is that it's their walk is mm-hmm. really different. Mm-hmm. Like, your walk is very
That's
slower,
true.
And it's more
seductive.
More
feminine, right?
Yeah, compared to, like, if you're in a pair of flip-flops, yeah. for instance, or Uggs. You know, it's just different the way you walk.
You walk.
The
That's
third
true.
Is that it's very feminine. You mm-hmm. know, let's just face it, guys don't wear, well, mm-hmm. most guys mm-hmm. don't wear heels. So it's different than you. So men love mm-hmm. that femininity piece. Mm-hmm. And so then what two things happen. It's not just the man's view, but it's how a woman feels about herself. So she's walking in with a different energy, mm-hmm. and that's sexy.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay. Well, I'll give it to you from a primal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that it simply lifts up the ass. And males, males are attracted to that.
For
now,
sure.
I never thought about that way. When I read about it, I thought, you know? The things that make you go home.
You know? I was just going to say that. That's so funny.
We,
it shows our
we
age.
Always bring it up, yeah. But, yeah, you know, so, but, yeah, for whatever reason, though, you're right. I think the way a person puts themselves together changes the way they feel about themselves, you know. I know when I wear a suit, I can't feel like a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
you just can't. You
yeah.
know, you feel you're really in charge and you can walk tall and everything. I know what you mean. Or if I have a nice long coat with nice boots and elegant pants and stuff, I feel like, wow, you know, I mean, I feel I'm ready to take on the town, you know. But when it's the T-shirts and the jeans all the time, which we get a lot of here because of the hot weather, you know, so it's the shorts and the T-shirts and stuff, we don't get to really express style.
I mean, L.A., you don't even have a suit in L.A. You really don't even need a tie, don't
unless you go downtown.
You really don't need a tie unless you're an agent or trying
well,
to be
if
a
you
lawyer.
Go to events and stuff.
Sure, okay,
you know?
Yeah, but you're right. But you're absolutely right. But it's like L.A. could not be more casual. It could not. It's like flip-flops to the workplace.
But
that's
here's the
like.
Thing. Like, I think casual wear is awesome, too. Like, I don't knock it. And it does depend on where you live. Like, you go to New York, and it is a different vibe altogether. And it should be appropriate to where you live. But the thing is you don't have to look like a slob.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be casual and still look stylish and updated.
And tailored.
And tailored and right. wearing things that fit your body.
Absolutely. I agree with that. So, go to
SeltzerStyle.com.
SeltzerStyle. So that's a new name. They all resolve into the same site, though, right?
Yeah, Elite Image Makeovers is also,
yes.
you can get there. So
exactly. But it's easier. I like the new name.
SeltzerStyle.
Yeah, there you go, you know?
Yeah.
So Kim is obviously a very innovative, entrepreneurial type of a woman. And so you've done a lot. I mean, you have a lot going on for you right now that you're doing. So so we'll get to that. Let's find out a little bit about you, though, Kim. Are you originally from L.A.?
I am not. I'm like, you're from the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So I'm from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. And it's funny. I find
myself. My husband's
myself,
from Chi-Town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if I know him. Because Chi-Town's actually
a small, big town. It's like coolest people I know come from Chicago.
I have to admit, yeah.
You know?
We are cool.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's funny because when people ask, like I'm traveling and people ask where I'm from, I've been here 15 years. I'll
right.
say, well, I'm from L.A., but originally
me
I'm
too.
From Chicago. Because
like,
I don't want to be, because I have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Of course.
People have an association of what I am. So it's almost like I'm trying to say I am different.
It's, self, it's like, self-defense. I say too. I'm
but
L.A., but I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm a very smart person.
It's
and
like
I,
we're trying to qualify ourselves. Like, I don't know what that's about. You know, because, look, it goes back to what we're talking about, image. There's a certain association
Absolutely.
And image of the L.A. girl.
That's
and so,
true.
Anyway, yeah. Originally, I'm from Chicago, and I moved here about, 15 years ago with my family, my Leave It to Beaver family.
Nice.
Really? Is that what you had? So why did you guys move here if it was Leave It to Beaver? fever?
Well, because I hated the weather.
Yeah, the snow. It's like, always the snow.
I hated
and the wind.
It. And I love, like, I'm an outdoors girl and I love this, just, I love this weather. I love being outside. I'm happier. I hated the clouds.
Yeah.
I think I had that sad,
yeah,
you know,
you did.
Seasonal
See,
affective
absolutely.
Disorder. Wow. I really think I had
yeah.
it.
I went to Michigan and had depression and it, I think it was a lot of it was sad.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It was sad yeah. and SAAD.
Yeah, 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 it was sad and sad. Wow.
I know it kind of happens to me between the seasons and stuff, you mm-hmm. know, but like, you know, when it starts getting darker and stuff, I do get kind of like down
yeah.
in the beginning. But so I agree with you. But it's interesting because I always ask East Coast people, how can you possibly move because of the cold? I mean, you grew up with
it's
it.
It's still terrible.
I would think that you
oh
have adapted
God.
To
Sam,
it.
Sam, have you, didn't know have you experienced 30 below wind
it's
chill?
Terrible.
Have
just
you
a couple
ever?
Times, but it is pretty cold,
I mean,
right?
it's awful. It's
people are not meant to live in that weather.
No, it's uninhabitable.
Right.
I remember walking through Michigan Completely. And my eyes, I was crying because I was depressed and my tears froze.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I went to go move my tear and then it ripped my cornea and I'm like, now this is the low, this is the rock bottom.
Oh my God.
Because it doesn't
too much
ever,
information,
but it doesn't become easier. Yeah. It just is chilling to the bone.
Wow.
It's funny. You know what I will say that there's, I think this is why the Chicago people are so hardy and
oh,
like
yeah.
down to earth people is because we weather the storm.
Of course.
Literally.
Like you can handle anything.
We come together in the weather because we live for the weather. Mm-hmm. But I would wake up each morning and I would turn on the weather channel because you're like living for
yeah.
the sun. You're living for wow. something.
And it'd be like 50 so, degrees and the sun yeah. would be peeping out. I'd be in bikini. Be like, it's time to get warm.
Well, the funniest thing is when I first moved here, it was November. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I got off the plane. I was like stripping. I'm like, oh my God, the sun. And I see, and the girls are wearing winter
yeah, they're
coats
freezing.
And Uggs.
They're freezing.
I'm like, why are they wearing Uggs? There's no snow here. And now I get it because
yeah.
now it's like, it's a fashion statement.
And they wear Uggs when it's 120 degrees
they sure
here,
do.
Too.
Okay, Sam, so I have to ask you as a yes. man, what do you think of a woman in Uggs? Because there's a big, like, discrepancy.
This is a
oh, really?
You love it. You hate or love it.
Yeah.
You love or hate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like when women wear Uggs?
It depends, I guess, you know, not all the time. But I do like the look when they kind of like fold it on top and stuff. You know, tight jeans, mm-hmm. A sweater uh-huh. or something.
But not like a sweatpant Ugg.
No.
See,
no.
I think...
You see, if they wear it yeah. like flip-flops type of, you know, no.
I think it has to be paired with a sexy leg.
It does, because,
yeah.
because you can't go sloppy sloppy.
No.
You can go sloppy, you know, tailored.
Exactly.
But exactly. And yeah. I was going slobby slobby for a very long time. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Right.
Life is not everybody. I mean, really, in Michigan, when you're depressed too, and I know this comes in play, you mm-hmm. don't dress well. You start to not even take care of yourself. You don't get your hair done. You don't get makeup on. You don't put your clothes thought into it. So I'd wear sweatpants and Uggs for months.
There's truth to that. You know, I have a lot of clients that fly in from all over. And people who come from the Midwest or, you know, those cold climates, they say that they get lazy
yes.
because it's so cold. But then, you know, what I try to teach them is you can still be warm and, again, fashionable mm-hmm. and look fabulous,
yeah.
you know. And you don't have to wear
so sad.
The double, like,
it was bad.
Sweatpants.
It was bad. It got real bad.
Yeah.
I like, slept for a couple days straight through. But that's when I think, you know, as a woman, maybe as a man, too, when you're not feeling your best, you're not putting any effort into what you're wearing.
Yeah,
you're just not taking
true.
Care of yourself the same way as when you have confidence and you have a projection of doing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a woman client just fly in recently. It was one of my favorite transformations. So I have these makeover weekends where I do shopping and I do what I call wing girl sessions.
Nice.
And we go out and we flirt and I teach her how to put herself out there.
Practice, practice, practice.
Practice, immersion. That's what it's about.
You gotta practice.
And I definitely did some therapy with her and breaking some patterns and from childhood stuff too. And really, she was getting in her own way. She was her own worst enemy. And I find this to be true every time with
yeah,
people.
Right?
The
case, yeah.
And until she saw herself as a beautiful, sexy woman, no one else was.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came and she literally couldn't even look at herself in the mirror. It was that profound.
Wow.
And we walked into Bloomingdale's and she started having panic attacks. Like, oh my God, I'm not this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't look in the mirror. Well, boy, did she... literally, when I held her hand and I made her look at herself in the mirror with something different on
mm-hmm.
so she could see her body. She was almost having, like, body
dysmorphia.
And she saw herself different, and she burst into tears. She's like, oh my God, I've never seen myself so beautiful. And from that moment on, she was like sporting stuff in the store. She was looking in the mirror. She was stripping. Like, she didn't want me in the dressing room at first. And then she's like stripping.
Getting in there. Yeah.
With the door open. Like, she didn't even care after a while. But what was beautiful is just then we did the photo shoot. And, you know, she saw herself as this model, you know. And it, we went out that night and she met a guy.
You see, and clearly you need to be a therapist too, and not just a makeover, not just a matchmaker, not just a confidence builder, but a therapist, because she figured out, you know, that you're standing in your own way. You know, how are you going to deal with this? You know, and you put her in a spot where she was very uncomfortable. She was outside her comfort zone completely.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is good. So, guys, you need to seek out Kimberly Seltzer. Before we continue, tell people how they can find you. I mean, obviously, you guys can follow us. Go to the website, seltzerstyle.com, and that's SELTZER, style.com. And you'll see Kim, very beautiful woman. Aww. Now, I wanted to ask you, so you moved for the weather, truly? I mean, you had a family there. What were you doing? What was your husband doing at the time?
I know. Well, so what happened? Actually, my brother was out here, and we kept visiting.
You're like, I love it.
I'm like, oh my God, why am I going home?
Yeah, and, right?
Like, I was getting depressed, getting on the plane, going back home. And so we just had an opportunity as a family to move here.
Awesome.
And then, as the LA story has it, we got a divorce shortly after. Obviously, there were other issues going on in the story. But, like, you know, it was kind of my, like, rites of passage and the fork in the road, and I had some choices to make, and I could have lied in bed and stayed there, or get out of bed and do something. And so I chose to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And that's truly why I love doing what I do. And a lot of people know my story, and I won't bore you with it. But the truth of the matter is when I had my own transformation and I realized the power of that, I wanted to help others with that, because I started losing weight. And this woman, I went shopping after wearing, like, you know, maternity clothes and Birkenstocks, like, for years. And I had to go out and flirt. I'm like, how is this not working? So, and this woman, like, shows me this red dress. I'll never forget it. I went shopping to get new clothes. And I'm like, honey, like, that's really cute, but that's not me, and that's three sizes too small. And she's like,
it's not.
It's not.
Wow.
I put on the dress. I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh my God, who are you? Like, it was like what I do for clients. I'm like, I didn't see myself that way. And in that instant, something started shifting in me. And then people started noticing me because I was embracing it and wearing it. And I started embodying it. And that's when it all started happening. I mean, besides this just amazing people I've met along the way to help me get where I am. But that's why I'm so passionate about this stuff.
So I have a question. I have a lot of girlfriends on, like, Bumble and all those stuff. And at their bar, do you suggest women approach men and pick up men? Or do you like the more old school flirting and then have the guy come to you?
Okay, so this is, I could do a whole show
too,
on this.
Me too,
right?
I'm like, tell me everything.
So here's the thing. It's, I believe that women have a responsibility and an approachability, okay? And so that women get mad at men for not approaching these days, and men are getting mad at women for not being approachable. So we're at a standstill.
Yeah, everyone's just staring at each
other. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Like,
I agree.
We're at a stalemate.
100%.
We're just staring at each other.
We're staring at each other. And so we're relying on Bumble to do it for us.
Totally.
And so I'm
a middleman.
Which sucks completely. I don't like beating people that way, you know? And like you said before, like your friend, you know, I'm better at meeting people than doing it online, because online, it's like sometimes you're creating a laundry list, a requirement list before you ever met the person, you know?
Yeah.
So you're ruling out so many people that, of course, you're going to be stuck with so you're going to focus on all the beautiful ones, and all the beautiful ones get 1,000 emails a day. They don't even know you exist. You're never going to connect.
Yeah, it's hard. And I'll talk about online for a second, but I want to address the question that you have. So going back to the approachability is that women have no idea what's going on, even in their body language these days, to send the signal to the man that I'm not interested,
right,
or I'm a bitch.
Or I'm available.
So what I tell women is, it's not to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's to be approachable. Mm. And there's a difference between the two. And it's kind of going back to the old school of dropping the hanky, mm-hmm. you know, when the women used to do that. Well, we have a modern day version of dropping the hanky. Like, there's things that you can do to have guys come hither.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, when I go into a bar, I have this whole, like, social engagement formula that I teach people, and I teach women this as well. And a lot of it is positioning, mm-hmm. where you put mm-hmm. yourself.
You're positioning yourself, like the power pose or whatever pose you're
well,
in.
Well, that, and also where you position yourself literally in the environment.
Right, in the bar, right.
Like, I was coaching this woman, and we went to a bar, and I don't know if you guys can picture this, but the bar was at a V, mm-hmm. okay? And so we walked in, and I asked my client, where would you sit? Now, there was a eligible man who was sitting right towards the epicenter, an empty seat next to him, mm. and another empty seat on the other mm-hmm. side. So he was kind of like in between right. two empty seats. Mm-hmm. And then right. all the way down on the other end, there were two empty seats. Mm-hmm. And so she took the obvious.
Right.
She
said, away, far away.
Yeah.
Far
I'm like, eh, wrong answer. And she's like, well, why? There's nowhere else to sit. I said, you're missing a great opportunity. There's a guy right there uh-huh. who...
Obviously, he's going to start talking to you if you sit there.
Yeah, she goes, but there's no seats next to each other. I said, so we ask him to move. She's yeah. like, but he's eating. You can't do that. And here's the other thing. We are getting so caught up and worried about what other people think and feel rather than what we want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And going after what we want. Mm-hmm. And so I said, what is it that you want to do? She's like, well, I want to flirt and practice. I said, so let's go do it. Yeah. So I went up to him and I smiled.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, hi. And he like almost like fell over. I'm wow. like, I'm
because that never happens.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm
point.
Saying? Women yeah. don't exactly ever do that.
I do, but yeah. It's
really?
I wasn't being aggressive. Wow. I literally just said, hi. I said, you know, my friend and I enjoy sitting in the middle. Would you mind if we sat?
It's perfect.
I said, unless you want us straddling you.
I'm sorry. That's fantastic.
With a wink and a smile. And he's like, well, maybe later, but
yes.
Why don't we start with hello?
But now we got it, a conversation
boom.
Going.
Yes. And I didn't think about it. I didn't worry about his reaction. And of course, we had an amazing time. And because we sat in the middle, we were able to engage the entire bar because of where we positioned.
So right. smart.
And not only that, but so look, smart. If you walk up to a guy, like you did, let's say, for example. And, I mean, you went confidently because you really weren't picking him up. It was for your friend. So I think you had that also where women don't have that confidence to do that because he's going to reject me or something. But when you think about it, the rejection is much less likely to come from a guy than it is from a woman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I don't care who it is, any woman that would walk up to a guy and start a conversation, they would have a conversation going on. If it's the other way around, it could be maybe at least half the time, there won't be any conversation because the woman will turn him away.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I coach just as many guys as I do women. So okay. I don't discriminate. And men, I find in the same message is true for men. It's not hesitating. It's going after what you want. And it really doesn't matter the response of the woman. If she doesn't respond, then she's not the right
one for you. Yeah, nothing to do with you.
She's not the right one for you. But you also have to look at your approach. You know, some guys will like sit there and stare in
the
corner, the creepy.
Don't be creepy. Just
right?
don't be creepy.
And you hesitate too much. And then if you say hello,
now it's
finally,
creepier.
It's
now
even
it's creepier.
Creepier. Totally. So the key is to just kind of go up, say hi, start a conversation, be real, authentic.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like a line,
yeah.
you know. Like
it's
from
just
the
women can
artist.
Smell that so terribly
we
strong.
We really know,
and it's such a turn off to hear like, "Do you come here often? Go fuck yourself." Like I'm not interested in.
Do people yeah, really
but,
say
but,
that?
Yes. But what's not a line? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's not a friggin' line that hasn't been said already?
Maybe talking about the environment of the bar
yes,
or something that.
Yes.
Right in front of us, like
right.
look at these glasses. Could be my
That's
grandma.
The thing. I mean, it could be anything, really, because you just need to spark up the conversation.
Yeah, it's just a conversation
right?
starter.
And then you get into other things, and that's what I discovered, you know? Talk about anything.
Right, but don't be, what she's saying is, don't be inauthentic and try and come up and do this. If
right.
you come up and you're like, oh my God, aren't these glasses the worst? I'm already like, yes, now I can talk to you about something.
Exactly. So the initiation formula to my social engagement is, it's very simple, and I'll share a little secret
yes.
with all of you. So it's kind of what you're saying. It's first of all, just use observation.
Yeah.
What's going on in your environment And what are you noticing? What are you noticing about the people?
The music,
the surroundings.
The food.
And then the second thing is get curious.
Yeah.
What are you curious about? What are you curious about her?
Right.
What are you looking
true.
At? Like real. And what that helps you do is get out of your head and mm-hmm. gets you into the environment.
Exterior.
Into that moment.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is ask a question or make a statement mm-hmm. around it. I was with another, actually, well, this was a woman, and she didn't know what to say. Like, she always was hesitating and getting in her head
about what to say.
So this really cute fellow sits next to her, and she freezes, and she looks at me. She's like, okay.
What do I do?
I said, what's going through your mind right now? And she's like, well, I'm looking at the window over there, actually, and it looks like it's raining. It was like this. I said, great, say that.
Exactly. Is it raining?
And she said, but that's weird. That's not have anything to do with him. I said, it doesn't matter. Just say it. She goes, you know, hey, did you notice those windows over there? It looks like it's raining. And he looked over and he's like, oh, yeah, I never noticed that before. Boom. That was it.
I know. It's not hard. I know.
As simple as that. And so just really kind of think about what it is that is going on in your mind, in your environment, and just make conversation.
Yeah. Some guy, I'm sitting there and I'm single, and someone guy's like this, and they're playing some 80s music, and he's like, well, this music sucks. I'm immediately thinking, hilarious.
Awesome.
You're listening. I got your, and you were not scary to come up to me. You're not creepy in any way. It was just a funny comment.
Yeah.
Just a
perfect.
Comment. Observational.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I did want to say, though, that before the show started, you guys were saying, oh, the whole show is going to be about you, they told me. But obviously it was not the case, because that's not how the show goes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to bore people with me and everything. But you know what? We've got the last 10 minutes. Let's go for it, okay?
Yay!
All right, because you got to help
put you
me
on the
figure
couch.
Out. Because, I've been not in a relationship for a long time mm-hmm. by choice.
Mm-hmm.
By choice. Okay, because after I got divorced, I wanted to be free, and I'm back on my own, and, you know, I like it. But it's been a while since I was really romantic with anyone, so, like, meaningful. So, but it's not working out. Somewhere along the way, I keep dropping the ball, and I think it's me and a lack of confidence or something.
Mm.
But let me ask you this, okay? I connected through an app, I think it was Bumble, with this woman. Close to my age, okay? So I'm not, like, talking about why I can't get the 35, 40-year-old. 51, okay? I'm 56.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very youthful-looking, nice. So we connected for lunch. We had a great time. Absolutely great time. I made her laugh a lot. She was like... So we decided that, okay, that was fine. We each went his own way. And then I texted her later, you know, and I said it was great, all that stuff. And
wait, what exactly did you text her? Do you remember?
This is important. Because it's a cornerstone of your budding relationship is what did you text her? That's very true.
Right. Well, I'll tell you at what point I think it screwed up is when, I don't know, when... Okay, I asked her... There was a couple things, but all that I remember is I asked her, I think I asked her, did you enjoy yourself or something? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, would you like to see me again? And she wrote back, maybe, with a smiley face. Now, how would you take that?
Okay, first of all, the choice of words that you used, did you enjoy yourself?
Or maybe I didn't use it that way. I don't know. Or maybe I just said I had fun. But but I could have said that because obviously I'm saying it now. So I probably did screw up that way. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because that could be a language thing, you know, like the way that you express yourself. And maybe that was your intention, is to express that you had fun too.
Right, but you're asking her.
But you're putting it on her. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of what she felt rather than coming from what you felt.
I see, okay.
And one of the most important, and I'll talk about my conference later, that I'm doing, but emotional intelligence and expression is a huge thing when it comes to attraction and chemistry. It's how a person feels when they're around you and how you express yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you did choose that language, she may not have known how to interpret mm-hmm. that because you put it on her rather than you saying, I really had a great time with you and I would love to see you.
Right.
There's passion behind that that's coming from what you're wanting rather than saying, so did you have fun?
It's a weakness or a strength.
Yeah.
That's right.
And and so, then when yeah. she said maybe, smiley face, she's looking for you to take the bull by the horns, and you.
And not only that, but you know what? I do have to mention, though, that her background, I think, is important. She's an Asian, and you know, I spoke mm-hmm. to someone who's also from the Philippines, and she says, yeah, you got to court her, you know?
I think that's any woman.
No, of course, yeah. I don't mind, but this is the bottom line. At least make it clear that you're interested.
But see, I think she wants you to make it clear that you are interested.
But I think I already did. I think during the conversation I was too much so. You see? I think I was already assuming that we really connected. And I think she got kind of scared away. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why she said maybe, you know.
So what did you do?
So I wouldn't move too fast or something. Because I'm telling you, we connected so well. At least I felt that we did during the lunch. Mm-hmm. That I took it for granted that I'm going to see her again, that we were connecting.
Mm-hmm. You felt like maybe you pushed a little too hard.
Yeah.
And when she said maybe, so did you write anything back?
So that was my question, was like, sort of like, assuming that we're maybe closer than we are. But I don't know, maybe I think it was too soon to ask, do you want to see me again, right? We could have just texted about anything.
Don't say, but again, you're doing the same thing. Do you want to see me again?
I want to see you again.
I want to see you again.
Okay, gotcha.
It's, I think a lot of the language that you're using
sexier. Instantly sexier, the way she just said. Do you want to see me again? I want to see you again is so much sexier. Mm. So much sexier.
And it's in a text. That's so true. She doesn't have your inflection and the way that you're saying it in an alpha format. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about a man who just takes a bull by the horns and says,
and that's what I'm saying. And I didn't, and I feel like a pussy.
Stop,
but,
after she said maybe, what was your next? We want to know what you did after.
That's okay, let me tell you. Nothing. Can I describe it to you really, really? I did nothing. I just assumed that. Okay. I expected more than that. I expected more. And that's what I'm saying, because I felt we got close, that I expected more than that. I expected something like, of course.
So this is something I see a lot with
clients. Expectations
and assumptions and predictions. Mm-hmm. And people nowadays, I don't know if it's even more so than back then because of all the noise that's out there, but people are assuming and predicting other people's behaviors
before they do anything,
before they communicate. And so people are just shutting down. And then you're assuming that she doesn't want to see you, and so now you're nowhere.
I disappear, ghost. Yeah.
You now she's probably thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Right. Because that smiley
Where
face
did
would
he
indicate
go?
To me is like,
the smiley face, wink, wink. Yeah.
Totally. Like, to me, that was a little bit like, I need you to push a little harder.
Yeah.
Like, maybe. Like, she doesn't want to be the aggressor. She doesn't want to say, yeah, I would love to. How about Wednesday?
Totally. So I guess, but would you say, like, an American woman would probably be more likely to say that?
We
still need to be courted. We don't feel like the man.
So even when you're feminine,
Staunch feminist,
you want to be courted.
I need my husband to ask me on a date, to buy me a present, to get me a card, to open that door, to pay for the thing. I still believe in chivalry. I still believe in women's roles and men's roles in terms of sexuality.
See, that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. But I think at the same time, I went up to my husband. He was new at the at Reels channel where we both worked. And everyone was talking about all this cute guy came in. And I walked straight up to him. And I went, so you're that Brooks Palmer. And I asserted myself. I'm a little aggressive, so I came off a little aggressive, and then I kind of, but it was flirty, and then he took over.
Yeah.
So I initiated,
but you started it, and
I
you showed interest, and you showed more than interest, and that's what I'm saying, Kim. Though I mean, and that's what you were saying before. Men feel that we don't get enough like signal that she's interested. You know, it's like always, it's like, and especially in LA, you know what? And I think nothing's changed, because I felt this when I moved to LA from Vegas. Mm-hmm. I lived in Vegas until 1980. No, let me tell you what happened. It was a very small town in Vegas. So people were like looking at each other all the time. When I would come to LA to visit from Vegas, I would notice girls did not look at me as much, as much as I was used to. And to this day, I think it's true. You know, it's like,
a cultural thing.
It's like you can see an avoidance, you know, and I'm like, why? You know, so I think many of them walk around too scared because everybody's hitting on them.
You know, yeah, and look, because I work with people, again, all over the states and even all over the world. I have clients in different countries that have different expectations and nuances and whatnot. And the same thing holds true no matter where you are. And that is, it. Yes, you can blame it on the people and the environment and all that, but you know, all you can do is change what you're doing to get a different result, because you can't change that environment. And so maybe it is a little bit like that in LA, but you know what? I think across the nation it's getting to be that way. We're all getting to be in our own worlds and in our phones, and you know, like it's not just exclusive to LA.
Right.
But if I find, even I've been in the coldest countries, and not just weather-wise, but just, you know, people-wise.
Austeria.
And I still, my bubbly, happy self, and people still respond.
Yeah,
and so
too.
It doesn't matter really. And so again, that's an excuse and it's a crutch. Mm. And so what I invite you to do is kind of get out of your own way.
Yes, I do. And I need your services, Kim. Now, listen, we're totally out of time.
Yeah.
And I'd love to continue talking about this. That's why we invite you now to come back.
Yeah.
We'll continue talking
about
this. I have
so many other questions.
Ah, because to be continued.
Because
or come
I'll
to my
you.
Vegas thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
When is that?
Yeah. Tell us all about this, because we need to know.
Yes. Go ahead. Well, I'm so excited about this. It's a live event, actually, because I'm all about immersion and putting stuff into practice, and it's called the Makeover Blueprint for More Confidence, Connection, and Love, and it's for men and women, which is really exciting because we're going to have men and women in the room. It's a 3-day conference, and the first day we're doing style intelligence, so I'm going to be doing the outer, and we're going to do live makeovers.
Wow.
And I'm doing something called...
I'm going. I mean, can you imagine
should.
All the hot
Sam,
chicks
please
I'm going to meet
come.
There?
You would love it.
Yeah.
I think it's really helpful.
And for any eligible ladies out there, Sam's going to be there, so
yeah, girl.
There you go. You know, like anybody really
we can
cares.
Matchmaking right here.
But they'll have a lot of,
yeah.
You'll have a lot of both sexes, I'm sure, there. And we're going to promote this to death because, yeah, I want to go there.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you need more information because you feel like you're in a lack right now and you need some guidance.
And I want to put...
I do. I've been out of the dating scene for a long time, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then
I need a wing woman like that.
Well, the second day we're doing emotional intelligence. We're going to work on how you express yourself. So I think that would be really good for you. And then the third day we're doing social intelligence. How then do we connect with each other? It's going to be very experiential. I have amazing speakers on the panel. I have the CEO of eHarmony speaking.
Is it the grandfather guy or no? Is he just...
No,
okay.
He retired.
I thought so. Okay. I love that guy.
I know. He's so cute. But yeah, Grant Langston, he's awesome. And he was vice president and he just got moved
fantastic.
Up to CEO, and he's a great speaker. And Brian Howie will be there with a great love debate and a lot of other people in the media who have spoken, who have different spin on things, like a psychologist, and I'm having yoga, I'm having salsa dancing.
That's
it's going to
awesome.
Be so fun.
That sounds
so
amazing.
If you go to makeoverblueprint.com, you'll be able to register and sign up.
Wow.
Sounds
November.
Good.
November 10th through 12th.
There you go, people. I think, Sam, this could be great for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what, Kim? You'll have to come back again before this thing so we can talk some more about it.
We're making
some real
headway with you.
I think.
Know. That was great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I need to be present in order for me to find someone, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't rely on the online apps. They don't work for me. And, you know, I mean, look, I just met someone and she may be listening and everything. But the thing is this. At least I want her to know that it's not like I'm talking to like 100 women, okay? Like, she's the only one right now I'm communicating with, okay? But the thing is this, they're dragging it so long, you know? It's like been 2 weeks almost, and we're still only texting through the
app.
We just started texting through phone yesterday, you know?
Can I just say something? This
and granted she was sick and everything, but come on, let's get on the phone.
I work with people in all different phases of dating. And I believe there's three phases. There's the courting, there's dating, and then there's relationship. And each phase has their challenges and nuances, and to help people along those, you know, phases in relationship, I'm happy to say that a lot of my clients who were single when I started with them are now dealing with their new boyfriends, new girlfriends,
that's
and I'm
right.
helping
they
them with
new
that.
Problems.
So you're at least on a new problem.
Yeah, exactly. So congratulations.
All right, awesome. Well, you know what, guys? We got to, we really have to wrap up. We're totally over time here, but Kim is definitely an exciting guest. We always love having you, Kim. So how can people find you one last time real quick?
Yeah, you can go to seltzerstyle.com. I'm also on social media at Seltzer Kimberly and Kimberly Seltzer on Facebook. You can go to makeoverblueprint.com for the conference in Vegas.
Awesome. And thank you all for listening, folks. I mean, you're all blowing up the servers here. I like it. I like it a lot. Tori, we're going to be away for a few days.
I'm going to say happy birthday to my dad, so I'm going to be missing you. But please write me, tshulman at Gmail. I'm going to miss everyone.
Exactly.
Tshulman at Gmail, people.
Aww. And
at I am Tori Shulman, Twitter.
Yeah. And I have also got plans for the next few days, so I'm excited too.
Yes.
So we'll sort of like be taking a break here
hiatus.
For a few days. I know you guys are going to miss us to death, but we'll play some replays and everything. So it'll be just fine. And we'll be back next Tuesday, right?
Correct.
Tori? What's the date? That is that like November
5th?
25th? No, today is the... Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 25th, yeah. Exactly.
It's moving along.
Yep. Okay, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.